Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Announce my first sponsor, Robin Kellison from the Good Seed Company. Welcome, Robin.
Yay! Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and very happy to be your sponsor. We have a large variety of locally adapted, open-pollinated, non-GMO vegetable, flower, and herb seeds. And we hope you'll enjoy visiting our website, goodseedco.net or Good Seed Montana, and seeing the resources that we offer for becoming a better gardener, a better seed saver, and a member of building resiliency around food in your community.
Welcome to this show today. I'm super, super excited because Megan Kane, the amazing Megan Kane, is back to share with us at this time of year, because we're all like, you know, in the New Year's, it's January, and we're thinking about resolutions. And I was going to mention the guy who runs my podcasting class, John Lee Dumas, has this awesome thing called the Freedom Journal, which is 100 days to accomplish a goal that people might be interested in. Mm. And because you're such a planner and you're going to give us amazing planning tips today. And so I just think it fits, everything fits together perfectly. So welcome. I'll be quiet now. Welcome, Megan.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for having me back. I love coming on your podcast. I love to talk about garden planning at this time of year. And I just recently wrote a blog post that said, if you don't do any garden planning during the winter, you're really missing out on one of the great pleasures of gardening. So gardening doesn't just have to happen in spring, summer, and fall. You can also take some time in the winter to think about your garden. And one of the ways to do that is with some planning. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to spend hours and hours planning. You can kind of plan as little or as much as what suits your personality.
Yep. And all right. So first, I have to tell listeners, you have to go to Megan's website. So I've just been like reading her blog, and there's so much information there. And there, yeah, you're totally right about the part about planning is like one of the pleasures of gardening, going through your journals from the past years, looking at the, like I saw in one of your tips was to, is it to sketch a garden bed, or I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, reading gardening books and planning a garden and looking at your pictures from last year and thinking about it is fun.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So especially like you were talking about New Year's resolutions, if it's anybody's goal to have a better, more successful garden, get more food out of your garden in 2016, I would say that doing some planning is one of the ways that you're going to be able to accomplish your goal. So all the most successful gardeners I know, and certainly all farmers, CSA farmers, organic farmers, they all plan their gardens at least a little bit. You don't want to wait until the first sunny day in spring and run out to your garden and run out to the nursery and that's the first time you think about your garden. So one of my favorite tips and one of the most fun things about winter planning is to get seed catalogs in the mail. If I know that some people just go to their local hardware store or their local nursery and buy seeds. But I like to encourage people to get catalogs in the mail because it gives you the opportunity to really sit down and think about what you want to grow in your garden and make your selections. I know that when I go to the nursery to look at seeds, I get really overwhelmed, especially one of the ones in my city has tons and tons of seeds. And I just start to get kind of overwhelmed and I'm not sure what I want. And so ordering seed catalogs, they'll show up in your mailbox and they're bright, have lots of bright colors, and there's tons of pictures of vegetables, and it's just so fun to make a cup of tea and curl up in your favorite chair and start to look through seed catalogs. And it allows you to kind of think a little bit more about what you want to grow. So I like, people always say, what seed catalog should I order? Most often I order from Johnny's Selected Seeds. It's a lot of farmer, organic CSA farmers order from there. High Mowing Seeds I really like. They're all organic. And I also like Seed Savers Exchange. They have a lot of heirloom varieties with some cool stories behind them.
Okay, and I also have to give a little plug for the Good Seed Company because they're my new sponsor here in Whitefish, Montana. So if you're in this area, you should check out Robin's website at thegoodseedcompany.net.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check them out too. So for most of the seed catalogs, you can just go onto their websites and request a catalog. You could also shop online. I just taught a class last weekend and someone raised their hand and said, well, you could also just shop online. I thought, well, yeah, that's actually true. For some reason, I like to get the catalogs to be able to look through them. But so you can either just shop online or you can request the catalogs. And if you do that right away, that's your first assignment. You should get them within the next week, I would think.
Mm-hmm. All right. An assignment, an action step. I like that. all right. I got to mention, there have been a couple of others that have been mentioned on my show. There's this guy in Oregon that has Siskiyou seeds. And then also this girl down in Whitefish talked about some place called Fedco. She said their catalog was super fun to read. I don't know. Have you ever read that one?
Yeah, they do have a cool catalog as well. Yeah, there's so many seed companies and a lot of really small, unique seed companies. So if you have one in your own region, I would definitely recommend that one. But yeah, it's
now, hard. Do you have on your website, do you have links to those?
I have a blog. I wrote a blog post recently that has links to those three, and then I think maybe Hudson Valley Seed Library, which I really like them as well. But yeah, once you get into it, there's tons and tons of seed companies. I do recommend. I have been getting more and more because I think some of the seed companies sell my name, and so I realize that I start to get overwhelmed when I have more than 3 to 5 catalogs. And so I've been recommending that people start with 2 or 3, and then you could always try a new one every year, and then eventually you could kind of hone down to your favorite catalogs.
Yep, I agree. Great advice. Okay.
And then let's see, another suggestion that I would have is first, I think a good first step is to order some seed catalogs if you don't already get them. If you do get seed catalogs, before you open your seed catalogs, I do think it's a good idea to review last year's garden. If you keep garden records or garden maps, it's a good idea to kind of go over them and freshen up your brain about last year's garden. Or you can just kind of, sometimes I just sit and take a mental tour through my garden last year and just think about what I grew and what I wanted more of and maybe what I grew too much of. Before you start shopping for seeds. And then also, I like to talk to people about thinking a little bit more strategically about what you grow in your garden. So also thinking about your eating habits and your lifestyle. What do you buy from the grocery store on a regular basis? What of that could you grow in your garden? What are some of the meals that you cook? I think a lot of us have some favorite meals that we cook over and over again. Can you deconstruct some of those meals and see, are there ingredients in those meals that you could potentially grow in your garden and even maybe preserve so that you have those ingredients all year round? And just thinking about, you know, are there special varieties that you want to grow? Do you want to do some food preserving? What would you want to preserve? And just thinking about a little bit more about your lifestyle and your eating habits, and maybe even writing some of those things down before you start shopping for seeds so that you have a little bit more of a clear idea of what your goals are for your garden this season.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. And I'm going to try to grow some things this year for sure that I've never grown before that I think I'm going to try to either preserve or like maybe some more herbs that I've never tried before. Hopefully I'm going to plant kale this year that I've never planted before.
Oh, you've never grown kale before?
I know. Crazy, right?
It's super easy in most places to grow, and it's a great thing to preserve. It's not really a food preserving season, so we don't have to talk about food preserving, but we just used some kale actually last night for dinner, some preserved kale that we just ripped the leaves up and froze it. We just freeze it raw in Ziploc bags.
Ooh, that's easy.
I have all these bags of kale in my chest freezer, and we just take them out and make our favorite kale dishes. It's really great. So I think that's a good one. Good one, usually a pretty easy one to grow, and then an easy one to also preserve.
Yeah.
What else are you going to grow?
It's so good for you, right?
And very good for you. That's correct. Yeah. What else are you going to grow for the first time this year?
I don't know. Maybe some herbs. Somebody was talking about some cool radishes, it seems like, lately. I don't know. That's all I can think of right off the top of my head. Maybe some, like, different squashes or lentils. My husband's yelling lentils.
Lentils. Oh, that'd be cool. I've never tried lentils. Well, that is one of the good things I think about getting seed catalogs as well, is that you can kind of see all the different varieties and all the different things that are a possibility.
I think that's what I'm thinking more, is even just like things that we grow, but like looking more at different varieties that we've never grown before.
Yeah, well, actually, that's a good segue. One of my other tips is to add some excitement to your garden. So I like to encourage people to try to plan to grow some unique and fun vegetables, just like we're talking about. So that's one of the things that I look for in the seed catalog. Are there any varieties of things that I already grow that seem new and interesting or especially colorful? Because I think that adds, for me at least, that adds another layer of excitement and joy to my garden when I'm growing things that are extremely beautiful. This past season, I tried deep purple carrot for the first time. And
I was looking at your pictures of those. They look so good.
They were amazing. And every time, they were all slightly different when you cut into them. So sometimes they were yellowish on the inside, sometimes they were orange, sometimes they were white. And every time I cut into one for cooking, I would just think to myself, this is such a beautiful carrot. And it reminded me that when I grow things that are especially beautiful, I mean, I think all vegetables are beautiful in their own way, but certainly there's some that are even more aesthetically striking, that it adds this whole other layer of joy, really. It's kind of an aesthetic joy. And so that's one great thing about looking at seed catalogs, is that often you can see lots of different varieties. Some of my other favorites are Dancer eggplant is an eggplant that I always grow because it has this really bright electric purple color, like a purple that you hardly ever see anywhere. It's almost like a fluorescent purple. And then dragon tongue beans would be another one that's really beautiful. It's kind of a purpley and white streaked bean. They're really good for fresh eating and also for cooking. And purple Ruffles basil is a really pretty basil. It's got this kind of frilly leaf. It looks a lot different than just your standard basil. It's a purple basil, but it also it's very decorative. It's almost like a flower. I feel like you could grow it in a pot, or you could grow it in a flower garden, and it would fit in just fine.
Nice. I like when you mix different textures and colors around the garden.
I do too.
You can put pretty much anywhere, right?
Yeah, you can. And I think that is one of the keys to having a really aesthetically beautiful garden, is kind of mixing colors and textures and different leaf shapes together. And it creates a little bit more interest.
Absolutely. And your place is beautiful. I was looking at those pictures too.
Thank you. It's covered in snow right now. I was just thinking, I can't even see. Actually, we can barely see our garden. We just got some snow last night, so it's pretty much covered up.
Yeah, we have a lot of snow. But it's fun to look at the pictures from the summer, and it makes you miss things.
That's true. It is. Well, should I give one more tip?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, well, this kind of piggybacks on with the adding some excitement. We kind of started to talk about how to make your garden beautiful. And one of the ways that I make my garden even more beautiful, besides growing really interesting varieties, is that I mix a lot of flowers in my garden, mostly annual flowers. I have a perennial flower garden that's right in front of my vegetable garden, because my vegetable garden's right at the front of my front yard, so a lot of people see it. So we have a perennial garden that adds color, but then within my vegetable garden, I grow a lot of annuals, a lot of long blooming, bright annuals that I mix in with my vegetable garden. Sometimes if you start your own seeds, you can buy some flower seeds. sometimes I find that flower seeds are a little bit harder to start than vegetable seeds. It kind of depends on the flower. But certainly something like a zinnia is pretty easy, or a nasturtium are pretty easy to start from seed. But I would say plan to either, well, definitely plan to grow some flowers in with your vegetables this year. And you can either decide that you want to shop in the seed catalogs and buy some seeds and start some flowers, or I do some of that. And then I also just go to one of my local nurseries in the spring, and I just buy some six packs or four packs of flowers, and then mix them into my vegetable garden. And yeah, and if you go onto my website and look at pictures of my gardens, you can see that I always have lots of pops of color from all of those annuals.
Mm-hmm. I like some of that too.
Yeah.
Do you put those in containers, or you put them in the beds right along with your flower, or both?
I just put them. I'm not a big fan of containers because they take too much maintenance. I feel like if I go away for the weekend, I have to worry about my containers. Mm-hmm. And so I just put them right in the garden. I usually put them on the ends of my beds. So I usually reserve a little bit of space on the ends of some of the beds where I put in some flowers. You could certainly put them anywhere in the bed with vegetables, but I found that I kind of like them when they're right on the ends of, just sprinkled throughout the garden, different bed ends, I have some flowers planted.
Excellent. Do you want to say anything about raised beds? Because I loved raised beds, and I was reading your thing about raised beds, and I just think if listeners are maybe newer gardeners, it just makes it such a difference.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan. What I really stress a lot of times to people is that I think that it's important to have an actual garden layout, a garden design, so permanent beds and paths. And they don't necessarily have to be raised beds. So they could be, so basically that means that some people garden in the way that they just till the area every year, and then they just kind of make their beds in rows and then garden, and then it kind of changes year to year. I think that it's easier to maintain something that has a more permanent design. So you figure out where your beds and your paths are going to be, and then you create beds. You could create beds like a traditional raised bed, where you go out and buy some lumber and you build basically a box and fill it up with soil, and that's your raised bed. I have that style in my front yard garden. I also have what I call mounded raised beds, where we just made some definition. It's kind of hard without a picture to explain, but we basically just in our front yard garden, we ordered soil, and then we just used the soil to create mounds. And so there's some definition between the path and the bed. You can kind of tell where the bed is. And then in my side yard garden, we used logs and rocks to create our beds. So they're kind of like raised beds, but a little bit more organic style. There's different options. You could get stones, you could get landscape rocks. There's people that get recycled plastic raised beds. There's people that make metal raised beds. So there's lots of different options for beds. But I do think it's easier to maintain in the long term. It creates actually a neater garden, a neater looking garden, and also I think a more aesthetically pleasing garden because it looks more organized. You shouldn't be walking on places that are going to be garden beds. So that's one of the problems with a tilled style garden, that you're walking all over your garden and you're walking on places that in the future are potentially going to be garden beds. So I'm a big fan of that permanent garden design, and I have defined beds in my garden. But like I said, I have three different styles. So you don't necessarily have to do the traditional cedar raised bed, but I do think it's good to have some kind of garden bed.
Cool. Yeah. We have a lot of like little rock work things that kind of define our little each individual area. And every year it seems like we add some kind of new place.
Yeah. And then we've done that as well in our community garden. We had a community garden for 10 years and we just gathered a bunch of rocks and bigger rocks and outlined some of our veg, which is kind of fun because then you can have more organic shapes. One of the hard things about using lumber is that you basically have squares or rectangles, maybe a triangle. So if you use things like stones or even sometimes logs, you can get some more curves and some more interesting shapes for sure.
Yep, you can. Sometimes that makes it a little more challenging to water, I gotta say. just plan, think about what are you doing, what's it going to be like to, because we have several places where you have to move the hose like every 2 feet or something around this corner and then that corner right. and then this corner. And
that's true.
It does get a little time consuming there at times, but it does make it look very pretty, I have to say. So, okay. So before I butted in with the raised beds question, where were we?
Well, I was just going to say those were some of my favorite garden planning tips, but I created a free 10-step guide to smart spring planning. So to kind of help people who aren't exactly sure what they're supposed to be doing to plan their garden, it's 10 different items with 10 different action steps. You can download that for free on my website at creativevegetablegardener.com/planning. And it's really, my graphic designer designed it, and it's a nice little thing to download. It'll kind of help you get started with your garden planning this winter.
And it's awesome. You definitely should go there and download it. And then also, just like I said, when you're there, Megan's definitely got one of my all-time favorite gardening blogs. It's just really elegant. She has this just really gentle voice, and it'll inspire you, and you'll like to read it, like, even if you don't want to plant anything, just because it's a neat, it's got a really nice feel to it. And you take just really nice pictures. So, and there's tons of information. Wait, you have to tell people about the club.
Yes.
The Flavorful Life Garden Club, because if that's not amazing, I don't know what is. And talk about the Facebook group, because, like, I don't know, I belong to a lot of Facebook groups. I think joining a private Facebook group is, like, one of the best things you can do when you seriously want to learn something new. And that part alone would be worth it. But there's tons of other stuff that come with it. So tell people it's the Flavorful Life Garden Club.
Yep, it's a Flavorful Life Garden Club. I just launched it January 1st, and so far we have people from all over the U.S. and also from outside the U.S., so that's kind of fun. And it's the idea behind it is it's a new kind of gardening club we kind of say that it's for people who want to grow and eat the best food of their life in 2016. We go through the gardening season by season. Every season we have a master class, so a class that everybody's taking together. It's an online class. This in the winter, it's kind of the same thing, smart planning for spring, really in-depth how to plan your garden step by step. We also have a community challenge. We're going to have a seed starting challenge to make sure to encourage people who haven't started seeds yet to get their seed starting operation up and running, and then also to help people who do start seeds kind of make sure they're doing it in the best way possible. We have a Q&A call once a month where you can call in and ask me anything you want about your garden. And then you get different resources are included, like in the winter season, you get my seed starting ebook for free. And then there's lots of worksheets that go along with the master class. We have a private Facebook group that's just for members. And so we chat a lot about a lot of things and share pictures and get to know each other and just kind of support each other. And then we also have each season the winter recipe. So we have winter recipes and cooking tips. And so I made a little really nice design booklet with some of my favorite recipes from the winter. And actually what we decided as a group in the Facebook group is that we are going to everybody cook the same recipe every 2 weeks, and then we'll post pictures and kind of talk about the recipe. So it kind of encourages us to try new recipes. So yeah, it's been a blast so far. This is just the first month, but it's been really great. And a lot of it is about kind of immersing ourselves in the gardening lifestyle, and it's more than just gardening. It's cooking and eating and being healthy and spending time outside and being creative. So kind of living everything that the garden can bring to your life, which is more than just the garden. It can kind of change your whole life. So if anybody, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just really nice to be with other people that feel that way. Like, I just think that's the best thing about Facebook groups, is getting to really connect with other like-minded people.
Yeah, it's true. It's been a lot of fun so far. And if anybody, I have lots of information on my website. If anybody wants to read about it, you can find it at creativevegetablegardener.com/club.
Yeah, and I'll put all the links to everything, so you can link to your website from my website.
Okay, cool.
If people want for easy... either way. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. And if folks have specific questions about garden planning, you can always come over to my Creative Vegetable Gardener Facebook page. I'm posting a lot about garden planning right now. And so if you have a specific question, just come over and comment on one of the posts, and I try to answer everybody's questions.
Awesome. And you are so knowledgeable. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all those great tips with us.
Thanks for having
me.
Oh,
you know
back.
What else? I had a note. The other place people might want to go is your Pinterest board.
Because
you've got all those great pictures of all the... That's where I saw the vegetables, the eggplant, and the... What was it? The dragon...
Dragon tongue beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kids would love to grow those.
Yes, I used to work with kids and gardening, and yeah, the kids loved dragon tongue beans, and I could never figure out if it was because of the name or because of how they looked or the taste, or maybe it was a combination of all three, but yeah, the kids loved them. They were really fun to grow with them.
And yeah, some kids probably loved them for one reason, and some kids probably loved them for another reason. That's probably true.
Yeah, and people can find, there's a link to my Pinterest page at the bottom of all my website pages. But also if you download the Smart Planning Guide, there's a couple links to specific boards on my Pinterest page as well.
Mm-hmm. And then we can just follow you there, I did when I was there. All right. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you. Happy planting, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow local.